Sci-Fi.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi. I'm Wade in this episode because we had technical difficulties, and the only way that I could get his audio and salvage the episode is if I re-recorded everything that he said and then put this lame effect on it. I hope this doesn't affect your enjoyment of the episode. I thought it would be worth it to give this a shot instead of throwing this episode away. Anyways, thanks for listening, and here we go. I'm Wade. Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the Starburns Audio Produced Podcast, one believer, one skeptic, and one guest. Also, this episode is produced by Whit Grimes. Whit Grimes, thank you for being a Patreon.
Yeah, thanks for the drinks, man.
Yeah, I'm drinking Hornitos Tequila and LaCroix.
Nice. I get there. I'm drinking All Day IPA Founders.
I'm drinking Lagunitas IPA. Should I talk? Am I jumping the gun?
No.
That's right. Our guest, Kurt Neal. Kurt, thanks for being here.
Wazza.
Oh, yeah. Bring it back, baby. I want to bring back Wise.
Wise. Yeah, the frogs are sick.
It sucks because you need three people for it.
Well,
If you want to be a producer, just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Sign up for our Friends of Charlquan tier, and you can buy us booze for an episode. On those other tiers, you get two bonus episodes a week. We've already introduced Kurt Neal. Welcome aboard the SS RLSF.
What's that?
That's our spaceship, the SS Real Life Sci-Fi.
Oh, that makes sense.
What does SS stand for?
Social Security.
Yeah, it's just whatever Navy thing.
Yeah, you know? I used to know.
Pretty sure it's Social Security. So.
Social Security, yeah. Define Social Security, right? Let's get rid of all that money that we put into it. Let's never get access to any of that.
Yeah.
I don't care where it goes. I just want to make sure I don't get any of it. That's all I
care. As long as we don't get anything, as long as the world is burning and we get nothing,
and
we're 80 years old.
SS means it runs off steam. Steamship.
Oh
well, so we have a steamship.
That's fine. Probably not the best in space, but it's very applicable to today's episode. Whoa!
The brand is growing. I love it, guys. You got a steamship. Well, SS is the spaceship. So.
Oh, yeah, spaceship. It can stand for spaceship. So, Kurt, you've been on... How many episodes is this, your third or fourth?
I think this is my third.
Do you remember any topics?
We covered, one time we talked about, I remember us talking about, like, Nazis hiding out after World War II, like, Hitler in Brazil and shit.
Oh, so you, I think you did, Hitler didn't commit suicide.
Yeah, and then another one we talked about was about the Scientology guy's wife that's missing and their whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, good memory, Kurt.
Seriously, I should remember. Good job.
Well, I mean, those are his episodes.
No,
I mean, you have to remember every single one.
You
so.
Also did Doesn't creepy black-eyed children in my place here.
Oh, so I did three. This is my
yeah.
I remember the black-eyed kids. That's funny. That's me, though. So that's why we did that one.
Me too.
Shark eyes.
Okay, so since it's been a while, let's take your WoW scale test again.
All right.
For those listening, WoW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a series of five questions, and we'll see where Kurt lies on the spectrum of Wade or Willie. Kurt, are you ready to take the WoW scale?
I love being on spectrums, so yes, I am ready.
Okay, first question. Do you believe in aliens? If so, do you believe they've visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I feel like you're going to hate my answer. I mean, my answer is basically like, I mean, yeah, like, it's more believable that they're real than they're not. So I guess, yeah, I believe in aliens. Do I believe they've visited Earth? No. No, I don't.
Okay.
So then the third answer would all whatever.
Yeah. Do you believe in ghosts?
No, I don't think I do.
Are you raised in Oregon?
Yes.
Were you raised religious at all?
Yes, but it was our brand of Christianity is super laxed and kind of liberal in its own way.
Just sort of like non-denominational. Yeah, guns around. Don't do bad shit.
Yeah, it's a version of Protestant, but like we have gay marriages at the church and like, you know, we're supportive of a lot of progressive shit. So like, I don't know. Very, no pressure, no guilt, none of that stuff.
See, I wouldn't be battling religion if more were on that road.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people would be surprised by my church, by how laxed it is on shit. Like, I remember I technically went through confirmation and the pastor taught it, like ran the sessions and stuff. And he spent like one whole class talking about like, yeah, sex is cool. I have sex with my wife. It's nice. Like he was like very like that.
Yeah, brag, dude. What a brag to a bunch of kids who all they want to do is fuck.
Yeah.
He's like, I have sex every night with my wife.
Boom. And right when he said it, some old lady walked by the open door to the room and she was like shocked. Like, what is he talking to the kids about?
And he said, and oh, here's some.
Yeah, she actually had two sets of pearls. So she clutched one with each hand.
He was like, here's some sex. And he started showing you a video. This is my wife, man. It's okay.
I saw my first porn at church. I mean, that's how progressive they were.
It was a sanctioned event. They're like, hey, this Thursday, youth group's going to watch their first porn.
Yeah, youth group gone wild.
Yeah. But we watched it at like 3 p.m.
Okay, third question. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
With a laugh. What about psychics?
I'm on the fence. I could buy it, but I haven't seen anything to prove it or convince
me. Have you ever visited a psychic?
I have not.
So how have you avoided... I've been to a psychic. I just don't understand how people avoided psychics.
I've never been motivated to do it myself, and no one's tried to make me do it. So.
Yeah, I did it at a Renaissance fair where it was just like kind of a joke.
Right. And I'm sure if I ended up in a place like that, I'd be like, oh, sure, I'll get my fucking cards read, or I'll get a psychic reading or whatever. Why not? But I bet I wouldn't even really buy it in the moment. I don't know.
I believe it, and I haven't done it.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe the neon sign.
What's that mean?
The psychics that are like...
Oh, right.
Living at their office.
Right. It's like their entire existence is making money off people for it.
You're a sports guy. Do you play basketball? You played baseball pretty competitively, correct?
Correct.
Are you superstitious?
Yes.
Are they entirely sports-based superstitions, or do you have any outside of that?
That's funny. They might all be sports-based. And even when they're sports-based, like, there are things I would always do, and if, like, I did it wrong, I'd go, oh, shit. But even then, I wasn't, like, it's not like I believed if I stepped on the foul line when I walked onto the field that I was going to absolutely fuck up. But, like, I made sure to never step on the foul line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, I respected the superstitions, but I don't think I fully believed
you
them.
Were groomed to be superstitious.
Them. What's that?
You were groomed to be superstitious.
Yeah, I just like, okay, we're all doing superstitions. I guess, yeah, I'll do it too. It's
did you have that. Any? So that's like a just overall baseball thing. Don't step on the right. foul line when you take the field. Do you have any that you do on your own?
I would have. I jumped like when I was a little kid. Remember that fruit stripes gum that had the little animals on it that made them tattoos on your
so
skin?
So good.
I got it wet. It was great gum. The tattoo thing was genius. One time, me and my buddy had a piece of that gum and put the tattoos on our hands before a baseball game, and then we both had really good games. So for like two or three seasons, like into like junior high, seventh, eighth grade, we would put those tattoos on our hands before games because we thought it was good luck. I don't think we fully believed it, but we did it for like a long time.
Yeah, it just kind of became a tradition.
There's that. There's like wearing your jersey to school the day of a game. There's little specifics. For a minute, I thought I would pitch better when I chewed gum. So I chewed gum every time I pitched for like 7-8 games in a row. because I thought it like helped me focus or something.
Dude, you are the only person to ever pitch a fastball at me, dude, and it was pretty fast. Because I grew up playing only softball.
Yeah, and I promise you, I didn't give you much more than 60-65%.
Yeah.
You didn't. You got my changeup, buddy. So.
Was it's funny because I was so relieved that we hadn't played baseball and a bunch of people got together and played and you stopped pitching and Ariel pitched and I hit a home run off of him.
I remember
as that. I yelled baseball. I yelled baseball that. As I was swinging. That was
home run. Sick. I remember that specifically. There's
I
two
remember things. That too. For some reason, I was there. And I hate baseball.
There's two things I remember from that day: you screaming baseball when you hit a home run off Ariel on his birthday. And when I was pitching, some dude playing in a real game 300 yards away was yelling at me, "Hey, Kershaw! Kershaw! Yeah!" He just saw like a guy throwing left-handed and like because I looked more athletic than most of you guys, it probably looked really impressive in comparison.
Wow, so dude. Like,
"Whoa, Kershaw! Kershaw!" screaming at me from a ways away.
I felt like nobody experienced a pitcher like that in a pickup game, you know, yeah, like everyone was shocked the first time he threw it, it like hit the chain and it was like really loud, hit the fence, like, whoa, shit.
That's, man, that is my favorite thing in the world. I do not care how unathletic my competition is. If I can go out and just dominate and people are impressed by what I do athletically, it's the best thing in the world for me. They could be little kids. I don't care. If people are impressed with what I can do athletically, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
All right. Big badass of you.
Yes, I'm a tough guy, and I only like terrible competition.
So you're like a 1 on the WoW scale.
What's the max? 5?
5 would be a Willy. You're more like a Wade.
It's 1 to 5. Okay, yeah, no, definitely. I knew I was a Wade.
It's actually 0 to 5. You're 1 step towards a Willy.
Sure, sure, sure. I'm not some psycho Willy. I'm not like these Willy psychos keeping
all
their secrets.
I'm pretty normal, dude, man. I'm pretty normal.
Yeah, I think so too, man. You're one of the more normal guys I know.
All right, Willy, hit us with a topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, USOs, unidentified submerged objects. Could these things be just taking our water? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Or this morning, depending on when you're listening.
I know. I would say tonight. I'm like, well.
Well, like if we were on the radio, it would be on it in the nighttime.
I would hope so.
We're all about spookies and aliens and stuff. I mean, Kurt, any thoughts? Have you ever thought about a UFO that's underwater?
I have never thought about this. And all I got from Willie in advance of this episode was, are aliens mining our water? It's something I've never heard of or never thought about. But it, honestly, in terms of aliens coming to Earth for like resources, that of course should be at the top of the list of why they would do it.
Well, it's
so
weird.
In terms of any sort of theory of why an alien race would come to Earth for our stuff,
right? Earth is 80% water, right? And we're the only planet in our solar system with recognizable source of water, so if you were going to come here, it seems like water would be like what you would come for.
It's frankly very stupid that no one has made a sci-fi movie about aliens coming to Earth specifically for the water.
Dude, like doing research for this episode, originally we were going to do another moon episode because I got more stuff on that and I love aliens on the moon, but one of the things they mentioned was like, well, yeah, they're living on the moon. We won't get into that. And they're, taking the water from the earth. Anyways, when I heard that, I was like, fuck, man, how come nobody talks about that?
Yeah.
It's like we're so egocentric that we're like, oh, they're trying to take our sperm. Our
power. They're trying to overthrow us.
Yeah. They're joining our government.
And even in the alien movies where they talk about they're coming for our resources, no one mentions water. Like, yeah. That's the number one resource we got.
They only want your guns.
They want our
like, that's the thing. Like, they are way more resourceful than us if they're able to come to Earth. Like, with it, they're going to come here for our iron.
Or our corn. They're coming for our corn.
I mean,
our subsidized corn.
Our beef.
The story is that they're here for our gold, and they turned us into a slave race. That's a big
one. Right, right.
To, like, mine gold. And I was like, wait, look in every direction with the biggest telescope in the world, you won't see any water. Here's a whole planet full of it.
Also, like, gold, like, go to any pawn shop, you can find some gold, man. Like, I know you're probably looking for more than that, but we got gold in watches.
Dude, if there was an alien movie, one, it should either be about them taking water, or two, them taking all the gold from, like, Fort Knox. Like, they do the gold heist.
The funniest version is them just robbing pawn shops.
Yeah. Robbing pawn shops is great. Or pick something that we have a lot of that, like, doesn't mean shit to us. But, like, in theory, if they took all of it, it would be really helpful. Like, if they just came for, like, all of our rocks.
Yeah.
That would be a really funny alien movie. If these aliens invade Earth to take all of our little rocks.
And it ends with, like, a hippie.
They just want our gravel.
Some hippie being like, you can take most of the rocks, bro. Just leave enough to keep the water away from us.
But here's what
I like.
Don't
take my skipping stones, dude. I like skipping stones.
Keep the flat. Leave the flat and smooth ones for us, man. One thing I like about this theory, though, is so they're living on the moon and they're kind of secretly here taking our water, right? They're hiding.
Well, I don't want to get into living on the moon because I.
Well, like, but they're trying to do this secretly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I like it because. Again, it makes perfect sense to come for the water, but I like that they're doing it secretly because they're not necessarily trying to like destroy us or overthrow us or take everything.
Yeah,
they
man.
Want us to like still exist. From what I gather, it sounds like they want us to still exist and we still have the water we need for the most part. But
I mean, honestly, it would help us out at this point.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of ocean water because like we can't desalinate it anyways and like our fucking ice caps are melting. So like we're going to be underwater.
Oh, wow.
But then again, if they can desalinate and they're not helping us with that technology, now I'm pissed.
Nah.
We can, no, we I hate can it. Do it. We just can't do it on a grand scale. But you're right. They should trade us. They should be like, here's the tool to desalinate, and we're going to take, like, I don't know, 1/10 of your water. Is that too much?
Take half of it. Take half of it. We're good. The oceans are
I mean, I don't know if they could take the half.
Yeah.
No, if they take half of it, all of a sudden, like, certain land masses will be exposed, and we can start new countries.
And we could do new real estate like Lex Luthor.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, we get triple Bahamas.
Yeah, we can get as many Bahamas as we want.
We could have so many Bahamas.
And the water would get warmer.
Yeah, we can get Trinidad and Tobago and another Tobago.
Fuck.
We can get a couple Tobagos.
We could do, like, a Tri-Trinidad and then a Dos Tobago.
The Tri-Trinidad Island and Tobagos. The Tri-Trinidad Islands.
Like the think of how many... think of how many Hawaiian islands there would be at that point.
And then,
everybody would be confused.
You'll have new Hawaii and old Hawaii. You'll have North Puerto Rico, South Puerto Rico. A lot of good ideas.
Oh, wow. There. North Puerto Rico. That's good.
Yeah, thanks, man.
So, I mean, here's the thing. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I got like 5 or 6 basic ideas to go through.
All right.
But basically, no matter what happens, this has all come to light again. And I'm going to keep bringing this up because of these videos that were declassified by the Pentagon of recent. You know, there's a couple UFO videos out there. Finally made the news after decades of no UFOs in the news. The Nimitz encounter, Commander David Fravor, he talks about this a lot. This happened on the West Coast in 2004. And basically they ran into they were out doing tests like war battle games, you know, with other militaries coming together. So there was like the Marines and the Air Force and the Navy, they're like, oh, we're about to get deployed in 2005, so let's do some practice exercises of us working together.
They call it war scrimmage, I heard.
Yeah, scrimmage. Yeah, shirt skins. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, hey, we've been tracking these objects, but now that you're over here, you should go check it out. And they followed some tic-tac-looking thing. And so here's the thing. So here's a UFO. This is on record of, like, on their radar, and there's clear evidence from expert witnesses that there was something out there. They didn't know what the fuck it was. From their perspective too, they talk about, so this guy talks about underwater, there was a cross shape craft of some sort that was about the size of a Boeing 737. And they said that it looked like the water was like boiling or frothy. And then they showed up and then that thing like stopped doing that and the tic-tac took off and they started chasing it. So this is just a good example of here's something that if you believe the Washington Post and the New York Times released these articles of the Pentagon revealing these videos, like declassifying them. So you have to believe that the pilot also witnessed that underwater thing. So whatever it was, here's some UFOs out in the middle of the ocean doing something to the water.
Right.
And
so are you saying that these UFOs were in the water and then like they flew? So these like submarines that can also fly?
Well, not in this case, but most USOs, the UFOs go into the water and they continue at the same speed. It's just like the water going into the water doesn't affect them the way that you would.
Like Aquaman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
So there are a lot of USO encounters too, but like this one in particular. So there was a craft underwater. They saw that. They saw
this
the tic-tac
still
thing.
Nimitz, or is this a different thing?
This one's Nimitz. And so this happened in 2004, right? So another thing that happened in 2004, I don't know if you guys remember the Mexican Air Force, they released a military video of their fighter pilots chasing something in the sky. And they were chasing 11 objects that they couldn't see with their eyes, but when they flipped infrared on, they could see. And this was out over the same waters, basically Baja California over the ocean.
I don't want to get off topic, but are there any, maybe you have this in store, are there any actual USO sightings?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, some of them could be fake. Some of them could be official documentation. Right? Are you talking about ones that have been released?
Well, you hear about UFOs all the time. It's just like, what's that thing flying in the sky? But, like, nobody's monitoring the ocean. And, like, I'm wondering if there's, like, a submarine that's just, like, doing along.
Well, so
and then, like, all of a sudden there's, like, a weird bullet-shaped thing that, like, zooms by him. And, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, 100%. That happens all the time. And it's weird because this guy, this is one of the most. So, you know how I always talk about Stephen Greer, and I'm like, he's I think he's the Carl Sagan of the UFO movement, even though Carl Sagan probably was the opposite of Carl Sagan. He probably knew about alien life and just, you know, was forced into saying that they don't exist. this guy, David Fravor, when you listen to him talk, he's a commander. He was in the Marines. They told him to go into the Air Force. He was a top hotshot pilot. He went to Top Gun. Like, he is an expert witness. And when you hear him talk, it's like listening to Kurt Neal talk about his accidental athletic abilities that are like fun to hear about.
Supreme confidence.
Yeah, dude. So like he talks about, I mean, he's fun to listen to. He's got he's very out there now. He's been on Joe Rogan a couple times. He talks about when they could see people camping on the beach, sometimes they'd fuck with people in their jets and they would shut all the lights off and then like fly at them, shut everything off, and then like turn the afterburners on to go straight up. So it just like freaked them out. So like it looked like nothing they could describe.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, he's a cool dude to listen to.
But see, you're saying he said that stuff about them fucking with campers?
Yeah, yeah.
See, I like that because I like when people that are arguing a certain thing will also include, also, here's plenty of examples of how it's probably been fake or people's sightings have been misinterpreted.
Yeah. So, like, right. So here you have a guy saying, yeah, a lot of UFOs can be explained, but probably not to the witness. But, but I mean, the idea is he is one of the most expert witnesses the world will ever see, because he has thousands of hours of flying. He's been in several militaries. He's had different top securities, you know, like, and here he is coming out saying, like, I don't know what the fuck that was. Crazy shit. There was something underwater. Something weird was happening. And so he talks about, yeah, when I heard this Mexican Air Force story, that's right where we were. They saw a bunch of UFOs out there. And then also there's this thing called the gimbal video, which, so the Pentagon has released declassified 2 UFO videos in the last decade, you know, right. And they're very similar. But if you watch them, it's weird because they are also very different. When you watch them, it's like, oh, this could either be a different alien race craft or a different craft for the same race. Whatever it is, it's 100% different, because they talk about these cubes that are surrounded by this sphere, this glowing sphere. This is on the East Coast. And so look up the gimbal video. The biggest thing about these videos is that he was talking about was like, hey, if this were anything that we made, the type of video that they're using would show exhaust. You would see the exhaust of any plane that the world could ever make.
Right.
So he's like, we don't know what these are, but we didn't make them.
You know what that reminds me of? The you know, sphere around the thing, the Explorers. Remember the movie Explorers? They find that tech where it's like a ball that you can put around anything and then you can make it go anywhere. And it like goes from in the air through the ground at the same speed, like you were talking about with the water.
Yeah. Well, that's weird, because it's interesting because my take on being able to go into the water and not like having giant splash is like, oh, you have phase shifted. You are like in a barely different radio station. I can see you, but you may not be there physically.
How do you mean? Like, crossing realities or crossing
crossing the equivalent of a parallel universe or a different dimension, but like spatial dimension around us, you know, like when I say phase shift, I mean like it's the Higgs boson particle that like allows you to turn off your mass.
Yeah,
just like something that people talk about, but
because no matter how fast or slow you're going, no matter what's propelling you, water would slow you down.
Yeah Unless you were like not in this quote unquote realm. And so we're seeing the effects of, a lot of the UFOs.
So why does it go to aliens then? Why do people assume aliens? Because that sounds like that could be anything.
Well, I always say that like, why do they have to not live on Earth? We call them aliens. I'm like, I don't see why they don't live in the ocean.
It's upside down. It's Stranger Things now.
Yeah, I know. It's weird because it's like, well, everything is just speculation. But there are a lot of, you know, you hear about people getting lost in the ocean and they're on a boat and it's like, we still can't see them because it's so big, and it's like you could be looking for them and not see them.
Right, because there's just so much space.
And it's all uncharted. We don't have the gas to fly out there, and the deepest parts of the ocean are super like, we're not really driving around.
they're like hundreds of feet deep. It's part of the ocean.
I mean, I've never understood why we don't explore the ocean more.
I think we do.
I guess maybe budgetary reasons, but that seems like a dumb reason, because like we give the military billions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
Well, it's also just there's so fucking much of it. Like it would take lifetimes to actually cover all of it.
But even when they know there's treasure somewhere, it's like, who's going to pay for us to go underwater
and like look for it? It could take years to find the specific spots and pin it up. That's why one of my first thoughts was in the ocean. There has to still be species down there that we haven't discovered yet. Species of animals.
That have
actually been here for a long time. So in theory, like you said, a cross-shaped ship in the water that was making the water boil.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would be weird if there was an animal that was in a cross shape. But in theory, there's maybe animals that can exude some sort of heat as a defense mechanism that live in the ocean that we haven't discovered yet.
I recently saw a video of a humpback whale, and it like the way that it rotated created this spiral of bubbles that came up before the whale came up. I was like, holy shit, man, that's crazy. And though that doesn't look like a cross,
sure.
It's something that the first time I saw it, I was like, holy fuck, I've never seen this.
Didn't know that could happen. Right.
Well, did you guys watch Project Power?
I did. Actually.
So they talk about... So Project Power is this Netflix movie with Jamie Foxx and... Joseph Gordon Green. Jamie Foxx's power is that of a pistol shrimp, which he claims can basically set off a bomb. And I currently am trying to look up to see if this is real.
It is real, dude. The pistol shrimp, it moves so fast that like it pops the air and out of the water.
Yeah, it creates like a sonic boom of sorts.
So that, I mean, just that would explain like what you're talking
that's
about.
That's something that a pistol shrimp can do. A pistol shrimp can do that.
So
they can move so fast that they create a sonic boom that would...
No, man, you guys, it's fucking predators. Aliens, man. It's fucking aliens.
No, we're agreeing with you in that if there were aliens underwater, who's to say they don't have that power to the nth degree, you know?
Yeah.
And who's to say they haven't just been here all along? So do they count as aliens or are they just a species we don't know about?
See, so I'm glad you bring that up because you've heard me talk about this a lot, but you know, Columbus has basically some UFO sightings in his journal on his way to America.
I didn't know that.
In 1492 on November 11th.
The ocean blue.
That's when he sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah.
No, we did it together. On my lag, we did it the exact same time.
Okay, you're on a lag for me then, yeah.
they talked about, like, he saw it, his son saw it, a bunch of other, like, at least 20 other people saw it on a couple of different ships. Imagine and 5 hours before they hit America, they saw what looked like, he described in his journal, a small wax candle that rose and lifted up, which to few seemed to be an indication of land. And so his son... Ferdinand also described a candle that was going up and down. So he says it's up and down. So the layman...
Listen, I'll take the word for it, but these people are stupid.
Well, it's just one really funny Native American guy just being like, huh? It was a wax candle. The guy's just holding the thing.
No. So here's the debunking story that's out there. It's like, oh, they drove by a couple islands, you know, and like... they must have had a fire there,
Wait, you got to say it's stupider. You got to really prove your point by saying it the stupidest way possible.
Bro,
they drove by the island.
Bro, yeah,
we don't get to do those impressions.
Hey, what if I told you that Columbus drove by an island just before he hit America, and there was a tribe there, and they had a fire, and the embers went up in the air, bro?
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what Kurt just brought up.
I guess the question
would be, what island?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, that. And sure, there might be some 5 hours before, but whatever. Because
you know who it was? I bet it was Benjamin Linus. Anybody rewatching Lost right now?
No.
Is he the bald? Is the bald guy? No, Linus? Benjamin Linus. He's the villain.
Yeah, he's the weird creep.
The little nerdy villain.
He's like constantly playing everybody, and so you never know what is actually true.
How about that guy hates that he was on Lost because he got a few parts right after and now he's yet to be seen?
Yeah. No, he was on some show Usual Suspects or some dumb Jim Caviezel. It was him and Jim Caviezel in some crime show where they're dealing with terrible, the biggest criminals in the world or some bullshit.
His son talks about how this wax candle went up and down. And then there is also, and I just learned this today, there's also another possible UFO description in his journal where Columbus talked about a couple stars that were moving, but the compass wasn't moving. So it's like, I mean, just him saying some stars were moving.
Okay.
Sure, there's plenty of
shooting stars.
Real life things that it could have been, but I don't think he would say a star was moving if he saw a shooting star, right?
Yes, because at that point they probably had seen shooting stars, first of all.
But
I mean, if you ever get out where there's no light, there's shooting stars all over the place.
Right. So if he said stars, so he's seen more than one.
And these guys, you know, they use the stars to do their navigation. You know, just right. saying that, like, for their times, they're expert witnesses, too. I know that they made – there's things that exist that are real that are always excuses for aliens, like ball lightning and right. gas.
This is also the guy that thought he was in India. So
I mean, they might have been, like, horrible racists, but they knew around navigation.
They knew north and south.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting that he basically has a couple possible UFOs.
All right. Listen, I think this is a great place to take a break.
Sure.
When we come back, we'll get to Willie's fourth, fifth, and sixth points. Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Willie Bad Movies presents D&A Park.
You're never going to believe what I did, Cletus. Marlon, you made dinosaurs from the DNA? Wow, unbelievably shocking. Where did you get the DNA from, Marlon?
I found some in my tar pit. I'm still making more. Plus, I got that old alligator.
Sounds pretty dangerous, Marlon.
No way. Anything can be safe with the proper fence.
A film that started long before man.
Wow, is that a real dinosaur? It's so big.
Does a tree fall in the woods?
But man's greatest discovery quickly turns into their worst nightmare.
Someone betrayed me. All of the gates are open.
I bet this gets my park closed down, damn it.
DNA Park.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend Kurt Neal about USOs, unidentified submerged objects.
Objects?
Yep.
Did you want me to continue?
This one, I want to talk about this little case that happened in 1980 in Rosedale, in Australia.
Yes.
This one, this is a weird story because it's like, you know, you hear random UFO stories. This is a UFO story, but, you know, he, in 1980, Rosedale, Victoria, Australia, he went outside. He saw a domed disc with, like, orange and blue lights about 10 feet above the ground, and it hovered over his, like, water tank, like a 10,000-gallon water tank. And there were noises that were happening, and it took all of the water out of his tank, water tank. And he felt sick for like a week. You know, he started to feel nauseous from the noise, maybe some vibrational energy. I don't know, something weird. And so the points of this story are this UFO took all the water out of his tank, made him feel real sick. And inside the tank, all the sediment from the water was like piled up into like a 2-foot high cone, as if whatever the suction method that happened, like, gathered the sediment at the bottom of the tank. So it was pretty cool story.
Yeah, I like that.
That rock.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, the story that I subscribe to is that UFOs have been interested in our nuclear activity. Despite that, that doesn't affect this happening. But I'm like, yeah, like, if there was any sort of alien presence here, I think it would be impossible for them not to use water in some way.
So what's interesting about that, though, is it's like filtered water. It's not like salt water, right? And so then that leads to like, oh, they're not interested in the ocean. They're just interested in like our fresh water, which is scarier.
That's interesting because I feel like, yeah, go ahead.
The scary motivations there are they're figuring out how to deplete our water supplies so they can deplete us. Right?
Right.
Well, that's the fear, you know? I'm like, is there enough water for them and us? I think so.
You'd hope so.
There's not even enough water for us. In California, like, we don't even have enough water. We have to take it from the runoff of the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
I think we get it from the Carolinas. I think it comes all the way across the 10.
Oh, really?
It's probably both. Okay, I know they definitely get Rocky Mountain water here because, like, when I moved here, everyone was like, oh, well, we don't want to get the reclaimed poop water from these Californians. And I'm like, hey, just so you know, you're getting Colorado's reclaimed water from treatment facilities. So the thing is when you hear the David Fravor story where the water was frothy or somehow boiling in a weird way, right, it just makes me go like, well, yeah, I would imagine that the same way that they took the water out of this tank, there's probably a desalinization. You don't even have to do that if you change it into a gas, you know? It's like,
right, some form of desalinization or filtering involving some boiling of the water makes sense. It would make sense if boiling was like a element of some version of desalinization or filtering, right? Yeah. So that craft, if it was some sort of alien craft, it could have been causing that boiling because the boiling itself allows them to desalinize and take some of that ocean water.
Yeah, and then you just take the steam. Like, you wouldn't – I don't know shit, you know, but I would imagine if they're taking any sort of water, it would be easier for them to change the form of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, picture how much air you – CO or O2 you can put into a tank versus the liquid version. It's like – you can put more in, you know, and it's like, take that and take the technology of parallel dimensions.
Well, what happened to that Australian guy? Did people look into it, or is there any follow up?
Let me check. I mean, from, you know, it's just a fun article that I've read a few times from different. Let's see, a blast of hot air almost knocked the witness down. Let's see. That's scary. He was sick with headaches and nausea for more than a week.
You see, that's weird. Is that like radiation or something?
Yeah, or it could be whatever the technology was, that ringing he heard, it was probably some kind of vibrational energy that, like, could even be a sound, you know, whatever. He heard noises, felt gross, and the grass. So here's the thing. When the disc had landed, it could be found a ring of black, flattened grass 30 feet in diameter. When he examined it in the daylight, the witness discovered that all the yellow flowers within the circle had been removed. Only green grass remained. But even more bizarre, the water tank was empty with no evidence of spillage. Only the muddy residue of the bottom of the tank was left, and there was something peculiar about even this. It had been pulled into a 2-foot-high cone shape. The witness was sick. A similar ring found in December in this other place not far from Rosedale. The water in a nearby reservoir was mysteriously missing. Oh, that's just the end of the article. That's weird because, you know, a couple – lately there were a few water areas that disappeared overnight, right? One of them being the Arrowhead water – wherever they have water up north, like they –
You're talking about full bodies of water that disappeared overnight?
Yeah. There were a couple full bodies of water that disappeared overnight within the last decade in California. Hmm. And it's weird because my conspiracy stories were always like, well, Nestle and Arrowhead are draining the water so that they could sell it. I'm like, oh, those fucking assholes. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but not overnight. I mean, they are doing that.
Yeah, they're taking water.
There were a couple of small places that disappeared overnight, basically.
Well, that happens everywhere. Small little lakes and creeks and ponds dry up constantly. And sure, we could talk about weather and lack of rain, but maybe there's some other species from here or otherwise carefully taking it away from us without us knowing it, because they're actually pretty smart.
Yeah, see, but that all so that's like dangerous, because that just means that, like, people who are anti-global warming. No, it's aliens, man.
Well, yeah. No. It proves global warming is fake because it's just the aliens melting the ice cap.
Yeah.
Man. I'm sorry.
It proves it's aliens.
It proves it.
I'm sorry, guys. The show's over. No more podcast.
Willie, you have to admit it proves it. You can't deny that it proves that.
We will no longer do the show.
You don't want to be irresponsible about what we say.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't want to risk saying something stupid that can't be proven.
I know. Well, it's funny because, like, I always, you know, I kind of stopped editing the show in that sure. I'll keep notes of things I need to cut out, but, like, I don't remember the episodes and I say stupid shit. I just trust that I'm not that stupid.
You haven't taken a single note yet, man. This is going to be a long episode. You're keeping everything.
I didn't know that you edit at all. I've never heard one episode.
I haven't either.
Well, I mean, you know, I go on these big rants. I usually edit the air out of them because I'll take like 3 second pregnant pauses, you know, where I'm like, you know.
And we're all just scratching our chins trying to figure out what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about currently because I've never seen you take a long time talking about anything.
Well, when I get drunk and we're talking aliens.
No, that was me being a sarcastic jerk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think he's being facetious too.
Damn it. So I do that a lot?
If you don't know this about yourself, I don't believe you've taken the Sam Christensen workshop.
Oh, no. Well, it's weird because, like, it's like I feel like this show isn't who I want to be. This is my duty.
This show is something you have to do because of who you are. That's what I think.
And I'm like, no.
I always thought the show was like your mission.
Your mission in life.
Well, that's what I'm getting at is, like, my mission isn't the entertaining life I want to have.
What is it?
Wait, so which is this? Is this entertaining?
For the most part, no, because I don't. I've had the burden of my perspective is I don't get to joke around as much. After all of our conversations, I'm like, no, I should joke around more. But I'm like, dude, I got to get so much information out that I'm like, you know, even the fun episodes, I'm like.
You're the information guy.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, like if I start joking around, then we won't even talk about the topic. And that's fine. That happens sometimes.
So you never have fun because you never get to make jokes? Is that what you're telling us?
Well, it's like I have fun, but I never feel like I'm like the funny person that I want to be.
Well, maybe Wade should be more responsible for some of the facts. let's turn this into a group therapy episode where we figure out.
Listen, if I was responsible for the facts, there would be no topics because none of these things are facts.
Let's talk about the fucking guy at Trader Joe's that fucking ripped me off. That would be Wade's episodes. He'd just be to have guys he hates from local stores and stuff.
This guy's in the Illuminati. Let's get him.
Yeah, right. Like I go to Trader Joe's.
I don't fall for that crap.
It's cheap, man. It's weird. My perspective of Trader Joe's is, fuck all those guys. And then you get there and you're like, yeah, I was right because the clientele, like.
The clientele, sure.
But.
Also, they're horrible to their workers.
Oh, I hear they're all right.
I thought they were bad.
No, they're bad. Okay. Trader Joe's is bad.
But
they don't let them unionize. They're like anti-union.
Oh, that.
But
that
isn't the United States anti-union? They really are, you know?
The conservatives are, sure.
Every business has busted every union except the movie business because it feels like it's like not America. It's a little side project.
Yeah, it's like a whole different country.
I would love to bust the unions in Hollywood. Those motherfuckers are.
Dude, how did they bust the auto unions? They were strong.
I mean, it's easy when Japan comes in and like sells cars for much cheaper.
Yes, good point.
I mean, like, you know, America is a classic. It's like the idea of America as unions. The reality is, let's bust them all. Fuck these guys. The corporations win.
No. Are you taking notes on this segment, really?
Yeah, we should probably cut all this.
I don't think people want to hear our half-assed thoughts on unions.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. They're a good idea, but they're a business.
That's America for you.
Here's the thing. You know, we've had plenty of. The weird thing is it's kind of hard to find UFO stories, especially now the way search engines work, you know, because it's like they'll show you a trending.
Well, then fuck the articles. Just talk about USOs. I think it's a lot more fun than UFOs because UFOs are like,
agree.
What the fuck are they doing here? USOs, it's like, oh, they're like down there.
They're working.
They're taking our resources, the water and stuff like that, and that's way more fun because.
Well, let's take
a tangible thing.
It's immediately more fascinating because it includes the fascinating part about UFOs, which is aliens are here. That's
there. Right.
And then also, they're like working and they're doing shit and they're like trying to keep it kind of secret. And it's like, okay, that's interesting. That I could buy.
And it makes sense because there's like so much of the ocean that we don't explore. Like they could be out there constantly because siphoning water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we would never know because we're just like, fuck the ocean. Let's go to the moon again.
Because otherwise, the common UFO thing is they're coming to study us. And it's like,
yeah.
How long does that take? That takes like 2 days. Like, we're not that hard to figure out.
Oh, man.
Like, you get it.
So have you guys heard of the this was big news to me in 2014 where like they
good year.
Google Earth basically uncovered this weird looking structure underwater off the coast of Malibu that everyone was like, holy fuck, it's an alien base, 100%.
I kind of remember this.
I don't remember this.
This made all the news outlets. It was weird. It was weird because, sure, I'm shocked.
It was underwater, but we could still kind of see a shape, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so big that they're like, that most people, and I don't know about like experts, but the story is, holy shit, like no matter what, this is something. If it's not aliens, it's like secret military because this can't not be a giant building.
Couldn't be a landmass?
No, because of geometry.
Right.
So that there's that one. Then there's one off the coast of Africa that I don't know if you've seen this circular shaped thing. It was on Google Earth. People always say, hey, it looks exactly like the Millennium Falcon, where it's like a circle with some like definite angles that's like geometric.
So you know it's legit.
It's gotta be like that.
I know, right?
That's what he based it off of.
Oh,
that's
dude. Did you know that life imitates art? Did you know that?
I actually did. No, I've heard
so
that.
Yeah. It's true. So it's true.
I actually knew that. So
it's actually real.
I actually think I knew that before you did.
So, I mean, but those are two big underwater things that people have like, it's made people turn their heads because I'm like, this is sure geometry exists in nature, but.
But how can. Couldn't anyone go and check it out?
Well, like
underwater.
Who's gonna pay for it?
I don't know. A scuba diver could go down there or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's people researching this. They're trying to, you know.
Yeah.
But honestly, to get a device underwater to go look at it is thousands of dollars. Like nobody's gonna do it for goodwill.
But if this shit's just visible from Google Earth, it's probably not that far down. You can just fucking scuba.
Well, I mean, that's my thing. Is like, sure, anomalies that exist on Google Earth, people have, like, there's been a lot of UFOs. Like, look at this, a UFO right here. Like, they've captured a bunch. Yeah. And, of course, they get deleted. But also, you know, Google Earth changes their images all the time. But, I don't know.
I'm just reading a bad article on they pontificate that the Millennium Falcon shaped thing is mushrooms, some kind of mushroom. But like, yeah, you're right.
Point the direction, dude.
No one's actually
looked. I love mushrooms, dude. How do we get there?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you're from Oregon.
Take me to your dealer. How do you say, take me to your dealer down under? Take me to your dealer.
Down under Canada. This is a Portland accent, you son of a bitch.
I'm from Portland. Who's asking?
I don't know why you'd be Australian isn't in Africa. Go ahead and do that. We'll see if you get canceled.
You want me to? I can do South African. I don't think that's cancelable. I can only do a South
Ninja.
African.
Choppy.
Ninja.
Choppy.
Ninja.
Number one.
Jumpy, go back into the ocean.
It's the number one.
You're the black sheep.
I'm the Millennium Falcon.
You're the black sheep, Choppy. Black sheep.
Don't make fun of Chappy. I like Chappy. Chappy's an alien.
So, yeah, I mean, those are just interesting. I don't know. What else, Willie?
Well, I mean, so I guess the next step, I mean, because like that. That's it that I have as far as like stories. So what's crazy to me is when you, well, I mean, the thing is, there's a bunch in my head that I'm not saying, you know, like just people talking about UFOs entering the water and the physics of that witnessed event doesn't match the physics that exist on Earth, you know, like,
yeah,
like something going faster than a jet hitting the water and like continuing to go, oh fuck, what the fuck?
To be fair, if you're above the water and you see something like that, your kind of perspective or perception of how fast that thing is moving once it's under the water is pretty inaccurate. You know what I mean? Like, it may look like it's still moving pretty fast, but it's already underwater. You're like, your vision is already blurred by the water. So any assumption that it stayed at the same speed feels flaky.
I mean, that's interesting. From the things that I've seen, it's just like, well, the splash wasn't as big as it should have been.
And splash is more interesting for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, if you guys watch Olympic divers, they can like suck the water in when they dive in. That's just all about aerodynamics when you hit the water.
Well, yeah, and I mean, so here's a weird thing about these military witnessed UFOs that have made the news recently. They talk about how these things, though it may be a pill or a circle, you know, that like they don't go, when they go fast, they turn onto themselves in the air in the way that you would be like, oh, that's not the aerodynamic way to travel, you know? So meaning that, like, you know, on the Joe Rogan show, they were talking about how if you apply Bob Lazar's...
I mean, doesn't Joe Rogan think that we have lizard blood or something like that?
Well, I mean, he's a weird guy because he's like a testosterone fighter that like...
I just think that like citing Joe Rogan is not really your best...
No. I'm not citing him to be a... I'm just saying, like, if you listen to that episode, like, he's a guy who gets really the best guests out there. And I mean, you know, his show is big enough to where, like, fuck him. Listen to his guests. He sucks. Sure. Like, I fucking think he's a muscle-bound piece of shit. That's what I think.
Okay, he will fight you for saying that. If he hears that you said that, he'll come and find you. I just think that he doesn't really challenge his guests. He just, like, has them come on because he's into all this stuff, right?
Yeah, accidentally, probably for the money reasons, you know, like...
I think similar to Mark Maron, who is a guy that I think a lot of people don't like, at least in comedy. Similarly, the two of them, regardless of your opinions of them, I think they do a good job of like opening up any given guest. They do a good job of making a guest feel comfortable and giving them a reason and an excuse and a question to let them like really go off about what they really feel and believe and think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're both good at that. So I could agree with Willie's point that Joe Rogan can get.
Okay. But here's the difference.
Oh, you're scratchy.
All right. John. Mark Maron has like John C. Reilly come on to talk about his childhood. And John C. Reilly says, what does he say, Kurt?
Hey, everybody. It's me, John C. Reilly. I grew up in wherever I grew up. My dad was.
And then Mark Maron's like, well, can you tell me more about how you grew up?
Oh, how I grew up? You want to know more about when I was a kid? Okay, yeah, I was me and my mom and my dad and both of my brothers and my one sister, we would all play basketball 3-on-3, and it was the best time in the world because I was the best and the rest of my family sucked, so I would beat all my family at basketball. Growing up in Iowa, where I, John C. Reilly, grew up.
Not very interesting. Now, listen to me play guitar for a little while.
Okay. Whoa, you're good, Mark.
Man. Wow, I could have done better with that story.
The difference is Joe Rogan getting people who believe in aliens to talk about aliens is easy. You know, he doesn't have to. I just think that like the whole point of this show is me challenging Willie about like these like sort of fringe thoughts. And I don't know that I've never heard shirtless tuxedo man, Joe Rogan.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah. Well,
I haven't listened to Mark Maron. I don't know
if he challenges them or if he just gives them a platform.
My personal take is that my guess for both of them is they have 3 hour long episodes that are edited down to an hour and a half, meaning,
oh, sure.
meaning it sounds like they're challenging them, but they just had them on for so long that it's like, well, let's bleed all of your information out.
I actually heard that Rogan's episodes only take like 30 minutes and then they just slow the audio down to make them last like an
really?
Hour, hour and a half. Yeah.
Like Rogan, like recently, like quote unquote debunked some like thing that was like, there's some documentary going around about how the biggest, most muscular animals in the world don't eat meat.
Oh, sure.
The fucking gorilla, fucking right. rhino, fucking right. all these animals that like
me.
And the idea is, yeah, fuck the meat industry. Like, you can be vegetarian.
And still be buff as hell.
Yeah. It's just a testosterone thing. And he like, quote unquote, debunked it. And I'm like, dude, you're a fucking muscle bound guy who is like a meat guy who gets upset at vegetarians. And I'm like that. Right. When I hear that, I'm like, well, I don't need to hear your fucking opinion on this. You know, like I remember my grandma, my grandma found out that my sister didn't eat.
My opinion on this is that, fucking sorry, put a pin in your grandma's story. Gorillas, we could never be fucking strong as gorillas.
They're terrifying.
The difference isn't what they eat. It doesn't mean anything. We'll never be gorillas. We'll never be hippos.
The muscles of a gorilla, though.
We can't be as strong as a rhinoceros because we're not rhinoceroses.
Picture the male gorilla, though, and how fucking muscular and brute a silverback is.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm there.
But that's genetics. It's genetic. They don't fucking lift weights.
Right. So if I could buy that Joe Rogan debunked it because it doesn't make sense.
No. But like there are this whole documentary is there are these gigantic muscle builders.
I understand it. I just don't think that like it has anything to do with different species muscles.
Yeah. I think Wade's arguing that the way we build muscle is probably a little different than the way a rhinoceros or a gorilla builds muscle.
But if you look at the current take on how to build muscles, it is protein from meat. It is that. You talk to anybody, there's like messing up the timing of the muscle fibers, you know, the confusing the – but like
how
honestly –
you know that's not true because like gorillas don't disprove that. Gorillas are naturally strong. They're fucking apex predators.
But the thing is though, I mean, not really.
I think they're really just, nice. I've heard.
Well, they're not nice, but they're strong as fuck.
I know. I've heard they're really friendly. Actually, it's just about how you train them.
training.
If you're P.T. Barnum, get really harnessed. That.
Hey, P.T. I mean, I didn't know we were talking about P.T. No, P.T. can harness that.
P.T. Barnum or P.T. Anderson? Where do you guys decide?
Where are you guys in the spectrum?
I like an uneven. I'm thinking Wes Anderson. I like an uneven
all
shot.
All I'm saying is, because there are herbivores that are super strong, does not mean that like protein doesn't build muscle.
No. Protein does build muscle, but most the Americanized version of the world doesn't believe you can get enough protein from non-meat sources.
Yeah, you can get protein from beans. You can get protein from tofu.
Like you can't like there are a few like
yeah, but
giant
that's stupid
muscle
because they all take protein powder.
But like every giant muscle builder that I've met, which is only a couple.
Yeah, right.
So like I met this guy who is He-Man. He's the biggest guy I've ever met.
That's cool.
And he can change his body. He's a wrestler. Brian Cage.
You meet him on Grindr.
Fucking best. No, we did that. We shot that wrestling show with him.
Yeah, the thing you guys all made up.
And he changes his diet based on whether he's competing in muscle bodybuilding.
No, listen, I'm sorry to cut you off again. This is like a non-issue to me. I don't really care about it. Like, I think the whole meat versus non-meat thing is stupid. Just do whatever. Obviously, it's better to not eat meat. Like, this whole argument. Well, you have to eat meat to get muscles. It's like, fuck off. If you're arguing that, like, I'm a bodybuilder and I need to eat meat, then you're just dumb. You're just the type of person who's dumb enough to go into bodybuilding as a profession.
Right.
Well, because
no matter how enjoyable it may be for any given individual, like, nobody needs to be a bodybuilder. Massive muscles aren't important or necessary.
And that's the thing is, like, my whole point of this whole stream of conversation is most of the people that are defending the you have to eat meat are muscle builders who have only eaten meat and the meat industry. And so this documentary was, hey, you can be a bodybuilder and get enough protein from non-meat sources. And everyone's like, no, fuck you. This is stupid. And Joe Rogan was one of those guys. And I'm like, hey, you don't even need to have this argument because, like, who fucking cares?
I see where you're going, though, because there's a conspiracy to it to a degree, right? The conspiracy of the power of the meat industry.
Beef. And what's for dinner.
It's a brainwash that happened. Yeah.
It's what's for dinner, and there's nothing else.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I don't think any of us subscribe to that. I don't know if any of our listeners do. I'm not sure if there's many real-life sci-fi listeners who, but I have to eat meat.
I have to eat meat because I have to have muscles, and that's what's important.
This
is the smallest my muscle.
I work out constantly.
Wait, let me do a screen grab.
I'm not going
to fucking
blue strip grab on that.
This is the smallest my muscle's ever been.
I say just use that whole Rogan conversation for the bonus episode.
Well, I mean, whatever. Despite all that, I'm just saying that, like,
look at that.
I'm just laughing that, like, yeah, I like Rogan's show, but I don't like him. He's a muscle bound.
I think that's fine. I appreciate sharing that with us, despite the fact
because I do talk about him a lot, but only because he's getting the guests that, like, it's like, you know, hits or
whatever. Who cares what the fuck Rogan says? You've only started. This is the maybe third time you've ever. I don't care about Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Okay. No.
I don't either. But I'm usually quoting his people that were guests on his show. That's all.
Yeah. But so that's my whole point. Like, I don't think he challenged them. If we had them, I would. Sure. Maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't. I'm intimidated by. I'm non-confrontational.
But you can open someone up to have the non-confrontational moment that opens them up without having to confront.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, we need to get these guys, and then we'll get the real shit.
Well, I've sent out emails.
Oh, sorry to waste your time with boring old Cornel. but back to UFOs, USOs, etc. What I find fascinating about all of it is, regardless of what's true or not, if there's aliens here, they're trying to keep themselves a secret, right? If they wanted to reveal themselves to us, they would.
Well, my perspective is they're not trying to be secret, but it's just like I have, you know, my parallel is, you know, we've recently started, like, relocating, like, endangered owls from, like, our logging industry. But for the most part, if we want to clear a forest, man, we do it despite the animals that live there.
I guess I see what you're saying. I feel like that's a big stretch of an analogy. If you're comparing that to aliens existence to us.
I'm saying, though, that, like.
Sorry, I went down the wrong pipe.
Ooh.
Either the aliens are trying to keep themselves hidden from us, or our government is, because they're working with the aliens.
Okay. That's a good point. Here's basically where I was trying to go. It's very funny to me to think about any UFO or USO interaction or you know, viewing or whatever, because I like to envision the perspective of the aliens in the craft, because they're either going, oh fuck, okay, there's a guy in the jet. They probably saw us. Let's fuck with them. Or they're going, oh, fuck, they saw us. We got to do something. We hide, duck behind that thing. Like, they're trying to cover because they think they screwed up.
Yeah.
Well, so
the reality of any given alien, either, like, fucking with a guy in a fighter jet or, like, panicking because they know they fucked up and they got caught by a fighter jet.
So here's the weird thing. You bring this up. This is a great direction to go because, like, okay, in particular, the Mexican Air Force encounter where they saw 11 crafts. Mm-hmm. They were chasing these things, and they basically said they couldn't keep up with them, but as soon as they stopped following them, they disappeared. So it was a weird thing where it was like their perspective is they felt like they knew that they were pursuing them, and they started running, and then as soon as they stopped. It's like, okay, we're out of here. You know? So it was like,
maybe they were playing a little cat and mouse.
They were aware of them. And so this guy, David Fravor, when he talks about pursuing this Tic Tac, you know, he was talking about how one specific thing was that, sure, they showed up on radar, but they basically had an active anti-radar technology on their craft. So it was like they could see them, but as soon as they were looking for them,
it's just weird because it's like, so you disappeared. So that must mean, like, if you go by sci-fi rules, there's only one reason to, like, not be cloaked. And that's because you can't be cloaked when you're, like, doing something else, right? So they had to be doing something that enabled them to not be cloaked or disable their cloaking device. And then they got seen by the Mexican Air Force, and they're like, oh, fuck, let's get the fuck out of here.
Go, 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 go.
And they bailed. And then once the jets stopped following them, they're like, hey, cloak on. Now we're invisible again. But, like, so what were they doing when they had to be uncloaked, you know?
Or there's the other version, like I pitched, like they're fucking with them. It's like the put your right. It's that put your hand on the head of the guy whose arms are shorter than yours.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, try and hit me. Try and hit me. And they can't reach you because their arms are shorter.
And they stop swinging and you walk away.
No, go ahead. Swing, swing. And then, and then it stops.
Or you just do the rubber pencil thing to, like, a child. This pencil's rubber.
Whoa, they're either just fucking with us or every now and again they get caught and they panic.
I like to think, oh, man. I don't know what I like to both think. I like both of those.
And they're both good plots to movies from the alien's perspective. Like, oh, fuck, they saw us. Go, 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 go.
I mean, that's the comedy one for sure.
Yeah.
The fucking with them. what's the story there?
So, I mean, my whole thing, though, is you picture how much of the Earth is water and how much of the Earth we aren't. I know that we have radar that basically – the American military has enough radar to, like, I would say, monitor the world, spy satellites that are up. And so here's the thing. If there are aliens here, which I believe there are, I believe that the military knows that they are here too, and they're not telling anybody. And the thing is I understand why they wouldn't tell anybody, because, like, the biggest thing is this. What if the military came out and said, hey, there's aliens here. We can't do shit about it.
Or there's aliens here. We're pretty sure they're peaceful. Like,
yeah.
Everybody or there's aliens here. We have really no fucking idea what they're doing. So why would we tell anyone?
Yeah,
exactly. They can't admit any of those versions.
And that's what I subscribe to. And I feel like most of the things that have been hidden are not because, like, well, everyone's going to freak out if we tell them. It's more like, no, the military's done once you find out the military can't do anything about it. You spend all your money on the scientists or I don't know.
I don't know. I doubt that. Sure. I mean, if there's the military definitely knew that aliens were here, I feel like they would be like, you've got to give us so much more money because we have no idea how to.
Even but if the Black did, Project money is...
Yeah, couldn't they see?
Proves that, like,
but do you think
they get all the money they want?
Down more money, like if they announce that, and then suddenly there's a move to give them 100% more money. Why would they do that?
But couldn't they already be secretly getting more money with everybody involved knowing why?
So that's interesting. I guess the only reason to do that would be if there were actually aliens, and you were actually afraid of them, and you didn't want to.
We wanted to study them.
You didn't want to inform the populace.
But we still don't know anything. That'd be cool.
Yeah, well, and see, so that's why I subscribe to the idea that the military, the top upper echelon of the people in charge of the military are only allowing the stories that get out that say, hey, we need to beef up our military. We need to spend more money on defense.
I want to track it. You believe aliens are real. You believe they're currently here?
Yeah.
Do you believe they don't care if they're discovered or not? And our people are hiding it? Or do you believe both are hiding it?
I believe there's multiple races. And there's some aliens that actually live in the Earth.
But like, but they'd have to be hiding themselves also, right? Along with maybe our government.
But I don't think they're hiding in the same way that, like, we're not hiding from moths.
But why wouldn't – but you also believe our government is hiding some shit, right?
Yeah. Well, like
– so why wouldn't the aliens, if they don't care, why wouldn't they go around telling us? Wouldn't they both have to lie? Wouldn't the aliens have to hide and the government have to lie at the same time?
Well, the aliens only have to hide if they thought we were smart enough to say anything to us.
Not necessarily. Maybe they don't want war. Maybe they don't.
So what Willie's saying, let me translate that.
Yeah.
Willie always defaults to this, like, you don't think about it when you step on an ant. And so he thinks that aliens view us as ants.
Why would they communicate?
And they don't know how to reason with us.
Why would they communicate with us?
Right.
Yeah.
We've only been destructive. We've never, as a species, said, "Hey, who are you?" We've always said, "Fuck you."
Yeah.
Well, we had that whole Industrial Revolution period. Very constructive.
That was cool. That was a cool period.
Depends on who you ask, because it could have just been a gateway to slavery.
Yeah.
Slavery's no good. Slavery's no good.
All right, let's wrap it up. Any final thoughts, Willie, that you want to pontificate on?
Well, it's weird to, like, claim a belief. You know, I do believe that aliens are here, and I also believe that the narrative is on purpose getting muddled by a few secret people that are just like, hey, man, if you know, you're going to fuck everything up. Because why should we have to vote on how – who should talk to the aliens for us? It's like, no, we'll handle it. You guys just sit back. We've got people talking to them. I don't need fucking, you know, evangelicals like jumping in and saying like, no, a preacher should talk to them instead of a Muslim.
It's the parent to kid dynamic of like, the kid doesn't need to know about this. We'll handle it.
You get beliefs and religion involved and like, fuck, dude, it messes up society. And what is society? Currently, most of the world society is capitalism. And listen, capitalism's great, but it's not good for a species jumping to the stars, you know, because all of our resources are wasted on money.
Right.
And so my thing is, it's not that anyone is afraid to change life for the betterment of humanity. It's that everyone that's in charge is afraid of losing everything that they have for one secret that isn't that hard to hide, because everyone's stupid. And even when people are revealing the truth, it's all lost into the bullshit of weird beliefs that like have been dominated by religions. Mm. And so science doesn't fit with religion, which is weird. It should.
It could.
But we're so fucking dumb that like our religious arguments will always take precedent over science.
Yeah.
And so,
but dude, that's like, so the religion thing is like, whatever. It's all about people with money controlling people without money and trying to keep hold of their money.
But they use religion.
They can also use a litany of other things. I don't know, like healthcare. You can't quit your job. Because then you have to pay for health care. Oh, it's $600 a month. This is not a final thought on USOs. I think, like, it would be interesting if there were aliens stealing our water. I don't think that aliens are actively around Earth. Maybe they visited here. I don't know. I just don't believe any of it.
Yeah. I'm basically same as with my wow test. Like, I'm probably frustratingly agnostic on this kind of stuff, in the sense, like, I haven't seen enough evidence to believe it, but I'm not about to say it's not true. We'll see. Who knows?
But like, I love that because I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't choose a side, even though I've chosen one. You know what I mean?
I love not knowing. I love saying I don't know in a given topic and being like, I'm not sure. Why would anybody be 100% confident? Like, how does anybody know anything? Like, who knows? Fuck it.
I mean, it's kind of like ignorance is bliss, right?
That's my thing, baby.
It's so sad. So sad.
It's not sad because there's no way to fight against, like, being apathetic to a myth is the same as being against a myth.
Well, here's the thing.
It doesn't exist.
I say it's sad because, to me, ignorance is bliss is to take away everything I've ever seen in the realm of conspiracies and paranormal. And I'm
no,
like,
I know. I understand that, but, like, I haven't seen any negative effects to aliens existing. And so how would I fight against it?
Why bother? Yeah. That's why it's fun. That's why it's fun to keep the possibility that they exist open, because I haven't seen any reason to think it would be a bad thing if they did.
And there's no reason to think it would be a negative thing either. So,
right. So why?
And
yeah. Why fight?
Really, who's like a scholar on this stuff has no idea if they're benevolent or malevolent.
Right.
It's fun to talk about the existence, though, but there's no reason to, like, make a stance.
Yeah.
Especially if there's no reason to aggressively take a stance against the existence of them.
All we know is that if aliens were real and they had a capitalistic society, we would know that they exist.
They would take us down. Yeah. If they were capitalists, we would be done.
They'd be cashing in.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right, Kurt, do you have anything to promote?
Kind of. I have a movie. I recently made a film by the name of Derek's Dead, and assuming everything goes according to plan, it will be released somewhere in like December. We're going to be putting it out on some stuff.
Awesome.
Like a VOD kind of thing?
VOD platforms and shit. Who knows where yet, but it should be available.
Hey, talk to me later about this.
Yeah, it should be available. So at some point, we'll probably have to push pre-sales at some point, so I'll get obnoxious here in a couple months. But, yeah, Derek's Dead. Kurt Neal. Keep a lookout for it.
Yeah. I encourage you all to purchase it or rent it. I think it's a good movie. Thanks, by our friend Kurt. Willie, any promotions?
All the things, Robotic Willie and Real Life Sci-Fi. All the things.
And Willy Bad Movies.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Bog. Bog. You know what Bog is?
You know what
Bud,
I mean?
Bud and Dog. Thanks, Bog.
And that's also where Frog lives. I'm going to promote Battletoads, the video game. It should be out by the time this episode airs.
Nice.
The 20th, I wrote on it, and I did some voices, and a bunch of people on the show did voices for it.
I was supposed to do it.
Playing on Steam, playing on Microsoft.
Never. Never.
Did you move to Portland too soon?
Probably. And I don't live in Portland, damn it.
Well, whatever. Everything in Oregon is Portland to me.
I'll fight you for that
one. Yeah, Eugene is a weirdo next door, like not a city.
That's my people, dude. I'm the weirdo next door, dude. I'm Kramer, dude. We're Kramer.
Also, go to my Patreon. Patreon.com/WadeRandolph. I do food reviews and do a podcast a week. It's just me making food and saying whatever's on top of my head while I cook food.
You just talk about Soylent every episode?
No, I like cook food and then I talk about the current events of my life.
All right.
It's like a little therapy session where no one can tell me exactly why I'm as angry as I am.
No one can tell you why you're completely wrong.
Yeah, why? I'm half of a human being. I'll never fulfill the rest of myself.
And you know why no one can tell you that? Because no one's there.
Exactly. It's me speaking into an echo chamber. check that out. Thanks for listening. Go to our Patreon. No, maybe it's entertaining. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Go to our Patreon /Real Life Sci-Fi. Get 2 extra bonus episodes a week. We're going to stick around and talk to Kurt Moore about who knows what. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening. And just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. All right, we'll see you later.
Do you end every episode that way? Do you end every episode with that?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Hopefully it wasn't too bad.